Today on the Voices of Legacy, we are honored, very much honored, to welcome, a local legend. I know she might not call herself that, but I'll call her that for her. Today, Miss Christina Rodriguez, the Executive Director of Mom's House, a visionary leader, an expert fundraiser, we'll probably talk about that too, dedicated to more than 18 years of empowering single parents and breaking generational curses of poverty. Under her leadership, Mom's House has become a beacon of hope and transformation, raising nearly $10 million, and that's not lottery money, folks, achieving a Gold Star rating in Early Learning Center, and recently leading a $12.1 million collaboration expansion. I am so honored and, well, excited to have a conversation with someone that I respect. And we've been in the company previously at a particular fundraiser. Miss Christina Rodriguez, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much. That's a great introduction.
Oh, well, wait, thank you. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What is it that you can tell us about yourself that I didn't already mention?
Oh, goodness. Well, one of my favorite things to tell people is that I love to karaoke, but I can't sing at all. In my family, we have a lot of musicians mm-hmm. and a lot of people with wonderful voices. Mm-hmm. And I am not that one. I get to speak at all of our family functions, and they do the singing and the music.
I was going to ask my producer if we had some music for you real quick.
No, I love it, and I do it often, and people around me cringe. But my family, if I say I'm going to start singing, they'll be like, oh, no, don't encourage it.
If you have fun.
I enjoy it thoroughly.
Yeah, aside from probably people being cringed about your singing.
Absolutely. It's fun, and that, you know, I always say God loves my voice.
Now, I read that you are a proud Buckeye.
Yes, I am.
Is that so?
Oh, I am a Buckeye through and through since I was younger. I don't know where that started, actually. Uh-huh. I was actually asking my mom that the other day because we came from a really challenging space and mm-hmm. Colleges and school education was not at the forefront of mm-hmm. our minds. But I remember being a Buckeye fan, uh-huh. even as like a teenager. And I think I just jumped on a bandwagon and then I ended up going to school there and met so many amazing people and started my education journey mm-hmm. At a very young age, very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when I went down there to Columbus. It made a lot of really wrong turns is what I call it.
Oh, boy.
I was unprepared for that space of my life, but...
So you actually went.
Oh, yes.
You're not
Oh, I'm a fan, and I went to school there for several years.
Alumnus.
I didn't finish my degree mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. but I ended up finishing a smaller online school.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, it really speaks to, you know, the support needed mm-hmm. to be able to move in the direction of finishing your education and coming from poverty and at-risk environments.
Well, speaking to that, is that one of the initiatives with Mom's House?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm super passionate about helping our community to... give them a hand up and not a hand out. Mm. I think it's important. You know, everybody talks about teaching people how to fish instead of just giving them a fish.
Yes.
And that's what we do, you know, every day is we're guiding young families along in their journey to ensure that they have a successful future, financially independent, but that they're able to do that on their own.
So sustainable solutions.
Absolutely.
Not just programs. Toledo is known for
we have a
million and one programs and grants.
We have so many nonprofits in Toledo. It's like over 3,500.
But we still have the same issues.
Absolutely.
If not greater.
Absolutely.
With a smaller population.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'm super proud of is the two-generation approach that we take. You know, you have a young lady who has come from cycles of, you know, whether it's pregnancy, early pregnancy, or it's poverty or at-risk environments. And then not only she chooses to make this decision, she now has a child. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to Now we have to help the child, too.
Yes.
I was that kid. My mom was a teen mom. My dad was a gangbanger on the west side of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Like, statistically, I shouldn't even be sitting
here
in front of you today. But there was a plan for my life, and we got help. So the young ladies that we're able to serve in this two-generation capacity it's a huge deal for our future. I get asked all the time, how can we stop the violence in our city? And there's not a magic wand. There's not a finger snap. But it starts with when babies are born from 0 to 5, you know, our brain, every human. It doesn't matter if you were born into a solid financially independent environment or into poverty. Every human on this earth, their brain is 90% developed by the time they're 5 years old. 90%.
So you got to catch them young.
Absolutely. And so if we're helping them at a young age to learn all the areas of their development and ensuring that they're meeting those milestones, it all we're doing is producing a future for our community. So we right now I get to see, and I'm starting to see the fruit of this, of these young people who were kids in our program now becoming leaders in our community and doing work in our community, graduating from high school, graduating from college.
Are they coming back to help?
They sure are. Absolutely. I love, it's one of my favorite parts of what I do every day is just to see families come back.
And you look too young to be talking about generations.
Well, thank you. I was two when I started, so.
Oh, okay.
No, I, you know, my, you should see my mom. She's in, it's in the genes.
Oh,
so
okay.
She looks like she's my age. I'm 52. She's 74.
Okay.
But it is to be able to see, you know, families' lives change. This is what I always say about this violence piece in our community. At 2 and 3 years old, we are learning self-regulation. Mm-hmm. That is one of the key components of development at that age. And if we are not taught and walked through that space and we're just shushed, put in a corner, told to be quiet, not allowed to use our voice at that age to understand that it's okay to have emotions and feelings, but what you do with them is the most important thing.
Yes.
At 3, you're throwing blocks at your friends. At 18, you're throwing fists and shooting guns. And so what we're doing at Mom's House and the work that I do in my life, period, is to ensure that, you know, we're helping while mom is getting her life together and breaking those cycles, getting her education, going to parent education classes, doing the hard work of breaking those generational cycles. That baby's development's not going to wait for her to be done doing that. So we do it at the same time, and we're able to really help just shatter some of those demographic, you know, statistics.
Yeah,
it's amazing. We see 15-year-old moms that have 30-year-old grandmas, you know, for their child.
Wow.
But we're able to break those cycles. They're the first ones to stand up and say, enough, I'm drawing a line in the sand.
Well, since we're starting there, what have been some of the challenges that you've ran into since you've been doing this?
You know, the demographic of families that we have served over the years, and what I've seen is, I mean, our community has changed, and they're coming. It used to be, you know, a mom made a decision, and she's here now with a child, and life changed, which it does for everyone when you have a child.
Oh, yes.
Here, you know, and she comes to the program. She just needs help getting through school. And now, from that part, we're seeing moms that come with a whole luggage of issues and bringing their family issues. And so, you know, they always say, like, to stabilize, for a child to learn, they have to have a full stomach. They have to have a good night's sleep. And so even with our clients, we're like, you have to, we have to be able to help them stabilize in every area of their life. So this one area can be their, which is their education, getting in, finishing school, and their parenting, and, you know, those developmental spaces. We have to be able to help them in those spaces. And it's the whole family now. It's not just that mom coming in.
So when you say the whole family, is that also addressing the father?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things when I started on this journey was I was like, where's the dads?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we helping the dads? We had maybe one or two involved, you know, in our, at that time. And I said, well, they're not involved because we're not creating an environment to make them feel important enough. Dads are an oh, by the way.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in that at all. I believe that a father is a critical part of a child's life.
Yeah.
So we started a program because of a young man, actually, who came to me, and he just kept showing up for his daughter. And he came to me, he said, what can I do? You know, I was told that, you know, I'm a deadbeat. And I was told that I don't know what I'm doing. He was like, and I don't. My dad was in prison when I was 2 years old. I've never had a relationship with a father. I have no idea what to do, Miss Christina. And I said, well, we're going to help you with that. And we started a dad's program. Andre and Eric, I'll never forget these two. And to this day, to today, this was 14 years ago. But to this day, they are still part of my life. I'm part of their life. And we are, I am proud to see them. When they have successes, that's awesome. They call us and they say, guess what I did? Mm-hmm. And, you know, fast forward, Andre, the one with his father in prison, I used to tell him, you know, what you are your child's hero. Mm-hmm. You are your child's mentor, father, comforter, hero, and you're his coach. And one day you're going to really understand and walk in the fullness of that. And we're going to help you get there. Wow. He showed up at an event years later that we always invite our alumni to. And he was yelling from across the parking lot, Miss Christina. He was never the quiet type. And all he did, and I knew exactly what this meant, he turned around and he pointed at the back of his shirt and it said, Coach. And his son was standing next to him in a football uniform.
Wow.
And he said, I'm coaching my son's team. And his son is thriving. He's this huge kid. Oh, my gosh. He was bigger than me when he was like 7. It's not saying much. I'm short. But in that moment, like, I was like, that's it right there. And then he said, and I've been at my job for 5 years.
Wow.
That was one of the areas he was very inconsistent in working. But for to see him succeeding, now his son looks at his dad. I was just watching them, and he just looks at his dad, and he admires his dad. Mm. And that cycle has been broken in their family now. And they don't have to be together, the parents, is the thing. And that's one of the challenges we see often.
Oh, yes.
Is the drama that ensues between, you know, the parents. And we do co-parenting counseling in ensuring, we always say, you know, you may not be relevant to each other anymore, but you are both extremely relevant to that child. So let's learn how to communicate.
Yeah. And I believe that baby daddy, at least to me, is almost a curse word.
Absolutely.
Being a father and remembering the benefits of that, or knowing that, or being taught what you're talking about, the benefits of being a true father is so important. And it's apropos for a lot of the stuff that we see in the community, the violence and whatnot.
Absolutely.
More often than not, there's no father in the home, and the father's been discounted for his importance in the rearing of that child.
Yeah, there's so much data, that shows the importance of having a dad. I mean, I can speak to that because my dad wasn't, you know, he was in and out of my life too.
Wow.
And so I understand it.
The trauma.
And a lot of people are like, well, if he was just not there, you know, but the trauma of having the emptiness and that void, any child, if a parent's not involved, and they chose not to be involved, that's rejection.
It is.
And you carry that for your entire life. And I carried that my whole life. I reconciled with my father before he passed away because he was very ill. And, you know, I always used to joke with him, gangs don't have 401k plans or retirement plans, and they don't have really good health insurance plans.
Not at all.
And so at the end of his life, you know, I was able to have some healing conversations with him. And I use that now when I talk to young men. And actually, I go into prisons and I've talked to men because my dad was in and out of prison. And I always tell them, your daughter needs to hear from you, even if you're behind these doors, you know, even if you're behind walls. And it's pretty impactful to see how they respond. They'll be like, they're ashamed. Mm. But I'm like, if I am your daughter, and I would have done anything to get a letter from my dad in the mail.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So your greatest weapon for this battle that you have in assisting the young ladies that have made a decision, they had to make a decision to actually have the child, which we support wholeheartedly, has been what?
I would say my greatest weapon has been my faith.
Mm.
Absolutely. I think that what I communicate even to our clients is that, and my team often is, you know, my faith is my anchor.
Mm.
And, you know, I never push my faith on people. I tell people, find your own anchor. And I can help you with
that. I'll say I've actually noticed that with initiatives that you've had, and even in your public speaking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I really enjoy that fact because it's prevalent. It's there.
Yeah.
But the message is what you're talking about, and it's applying those principles to the people and letting them see the benefits, kind of like what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I know for me, like, I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. I grew up with almost faith, you know, forced into me.
Yeah.
And very, very charismatic Pentecostal, Mexican Pentecostal. So think about all that. But I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Evangelist
I knew how to feel it, but I didn't understand it, and I didn't get teaching.
Yes.
And so for me, I always say, we are the hands of God. And like for me, I'm not going to thump anybody over the head with a Bible.
It didn't work.
Because that does not work. No. But if I show them, they're going to eventually figure out, how did you get there? They ask me, how did you get there?
That's what you want.
And then I say, this is how I got here, you know, and then I'm able to share my faith.
And that's how you raise $12 million and $10
Absolutely.
Million. And
Absolutely. There's strategy with all of it.
Oh, my goodness.
I always tell my, you know, I was told growing up, they would tell me, you're so much like your dad. Growing up, hearing that, all I heard was negative things about my dad. Mm. My dad was leader. He was a kingpin for the Latin Kings. Like, that's really big deal in the west side of Chicago.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so, like, he was a leader. And I didn't understand that. And so when people spoke that into my life, I used to feel so horrible. Mm. But what I didn't know, and one day it just took God to speak to my heart. I heard somebody say, leadership is influence. Mm-hmm. And you get to choose how you're going to influence people's lives.
And he was a leader.
My dad was a great leader.
Yeah.
He just chose to influence people's lives.
Yeah, the wrong way.
The only way that he knew how, you know. And he was raised by the gang. He was 13 when he left his home. And the streets raised him.
Wow.
You know, so, but I got to lead him to God. I got to help him with his peace and his forgiveness. Mm. And but my faith is my anchor. And when the way I tell them all the time, when the storms come, I'm not going nowhere, because that's my anchor. Because if it was up to me, we would have a whole different conversation.
I'm a hustler, babe. Oh, Lord. What's been some of the biggest, well, we've already talked about some of the challenges, but specific challenges in balancing the growth of the organization to where it is now? And its perception is huge in this area, and the heart of the mission of Mom's House.
Yep. I think, when Nancy Nudo started Mom's House, her heartbeat was that she was very active when it came to the pro-life community, actually. Mm-hmm. And one day she said the Lord gave her a dream one night. And he said, what are you doing for these babies when they're born? And her life changed forever.
So not just saying, keep the baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But past that.
And I call it womb to tomb.
Yes.
You know, I believe that there is a way and an avenue and a path. But at the same time, you know, there is, we won't even get into the conversation about, you know, a woman's body, because that's a whole separate, in my eyes, a separate conversation. But when she said that, you know, that's why she did what she did with Mom's House. She said, I can't just keep marching. I can't just keep talking.
Yeah.
I have to do something. And of course, these days it's a very hot political thing. It wasn't back then. But this is the way I see it in our growth. As we've walked forward, we've worked with pro-life organizations as a collaboration. We've worked with, you know, non-faith-based organizations. If you can find the middle ground, which for me, the middle ground is that child.
Yes.
They are here. And if we're going to sit and argue about what should have happened or why we believe certain things or what our stance is in a specific area, we are wasting time and we are wasting lives.
Yes.
And so this is the way that this is one of my analogies. I have a lot of them. but if you, and I'm going to just, you have children.
Oh, yeah, six.
So, yes. Oh, goodness. So if one of those children was in a car accident and they were bleeding out on the street, and I'm pretty extreme with this, but. I want the point to be made. And they had, you know, about two more minutes until they were going to bleed to the point of death. And here comes the EMT person. And they're running, sprinting to your kid to save their life. Would you stop them and ask them if they're pro-life or pro-choice?
Oh, no.
Would you ask them what they believe about immigration?
No.
What their stance is on Jesus? On policies in the White House?
No.
Absolutely not. We have a community that's bleeding out on the streets and we're playing games.
Yes.
So that's where I stand. I stand wherever that kid is. Mm-hmm. I stand where the life is, and I will work with whoever, even if I disagree with their core beliefs, I will still work with them. That to me is what being inclusive is.
Yes.
Every voice at the table, even the ones you disagree with.
That is a place where you could actually influence those that you should be witnessing to if you have faith.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, if you're not in their presence, and I'm with you all today. I'm a chaplain of the Buffalo Soldiers. I work a whole lot.
They support us. I love them.
Yeah, I know. Toledo Police Department. And I don't agree with everybody.
Yeah.
at the core. But we do agree with what is our purpose, to help the community.
Absolutely.
To be a blessing in the community, to save these children, to save even the parents. And if what you said, I absolutely agree. If you can agree on that, you can actually get stuff done.
Yes. And that's how we just built a second building.
And how's that going?
Amazing. So I didn't
anticipate. It's beautiful.
It is amazing. And I definitely should. I would love to have you for your own tour.
Yeah.
It was hard because of the rhetoric around us.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people don't know this. Probably one of the first times I'm saying this publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I was beat up by our community in this space.
Really?
Yes. When it came to the us working with a pro-life organization as closely, everybody has opinions on who you should work with to get work done. But guess who? This is what I say all the time. In this building, the work we're doing is work for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
The baby's being born and we're taking care of the baby.
There's no sides if they're not alive. So
there it is. And so for us, we believe womb to tomb, and a choice for life isn't a choice for poverty. You don't have to live in that space because you chose it to have your child. And we do see really hard situations. We've seen situations that it's not just the decision making of the young lady, it was put on her.
Yes.
And so we've walked through that with our families. Also, we provide parenting classes, tutoring, counseling, mentoring, all of that, because we have to get them through those hard parts. So I would definitely say, one, my faith has been my anchor, and two, walking through this project was definitely challenging, but it was the best decision I ever made. And as we transition, because we're literally, this is our first semester of school, so like we're transitioning, a little bit of a undertaking. Mm-hmm. I think, not that I bit off more than I could chew, but like I didn't realize how much transition, it's a different type of transition, but we're doing it, and
That's
we're doing
awesome.
It well, and lives are being impacted. And changed.
I think you've kind of explained the next question in regards to the statement of heart's work.
Yeah.
You mentioned your heart's work.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
So we do a lot of programming, like we talked about earlier. Yeah. Everybody does programming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants data. Everybody wants outcomes. Everybody wants the tangible things that you can say, well, we changed this many lives and this many fed this many people. But there's a part of what we do, and this is a heartbeat for me, my entire life, is the heart work. How do you change people's hearts?
Yes.
Poverty is a mindset. It's not a money thing.
Mm.
And how do we help to shift that in their mind? And you almost have to kind of strip them of what they know to rebuild them. And so we get into their hearts and we start to help them pull down those strongholds, those things that have been attached to their heart their whole life, that's normal in their family. And it's amazing to see things that are normal.
Yeah,
and when you're free from them, you're like, that is not normal, And so we're able to help the young ladies right there. We call it the heart work, and to really dive into their hearts and help them change.
I heard, and I don't know how true this is, that there've been some really young ladies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're privy to even say how
young.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. We have eighth graders on our list right now.
Wow.
By the way, which is heartbreaking. But we are
sounds
young.
Like somebody ought to be in jail.
I agree with you. We actually, in this case, our youngest client in the history of our program was 13.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and she. Her mother was an addict. She would allow her men to be with her daughter for a hit, basically. So every time mom got high, she was put into a really bad position, and so she became pregnant by one of them.
So you're literally making a young girl into a woman.
Yeah, and they took her out of that home. Mm-hmm. The nurse at the school is the one that figured it out, and so. Uh-huh. So she was in the foster system. We have young ladies who are in the foster system. She got a foster grandmother. It's a lady who has had probably 30 plus foster kids. She's retired from it now, and she's doing well. And she said, we're going to mom's house. And they showed up while she was pregnant, and they said, we need to help. Can you help us? And we said, absolutely. We helped her graduate from high school, helped her. She did 1 year. They can be in a program from 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So. With the kids, because we're not licensed for kindergarten. And we helped her 4 years of high school, Then she wanted to be an esthetician. Wow. And so she did beauty school, and we continued to help her. She owns her own salon. She's done my eyebrows. Whenever she would see me, she would be like, "You really need your eyebrows done."
Oh my goodness.
I'd be like, "Okay, well, let's do them." Sometimes she would just show up with it at the office.
So I guess that leads to another question. What's the process if somebody needs help from your organization?
Yep. So there's several different ways. Obviously, they can go on our website, which there's a plethora of information there. But the best thing to do is go to the website. There is a space that they can fill out an application. They do have to be enrolled in school. That could be trade school, GED, 2-year, 4-year. I mean, we've got girls from getting their GED right now. We have one getting her master's. Wow. Like, it's so spread out. And so it's just a matter, or give us a call, depending on what the openings we have. We do have some openings right now, which is a miracle.
Wow.
But it's because we just opened our second location.
Oh, gotcha.
So, and there's certain spots that are open.
So are the locations near each other or no?
Yep. So one of them is on Franklin Avenue down by St. V's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is on Westwood Avenue, right, University of Toledo. Mm-hmm. So kind of split the city in half.
Near Door Street area?
Yep.
Nebraska?
Yep. Right there where it was closed for a while.
Yeah.
So it's open again. Mm-hmm. But we kind of thought, our thought process there, when I was looking for growth, me and my board, I kept saying I want to be close to UT, walking distance from UT, and on a bus line.
Yeah.
And so that was my prayer. And we're less than a mile from UT and on a bus line.
Sounds like what you got. So do the girls help each other?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Young ladies?
Yeah, usually our veterans, you know, the ones that have been in the program for a couple of years are the ones. I walked into a conversation just on Friday of one of the moms. She was telling another younger mom, like, well, you need to have a conversation with them because they'll help you with that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the moms, they get a little nervous on, like, approaching us for help in some areas. It takes time for them to trust us, you know.
Yeah.
And so they help each other. They train each other. They have to do 2 hours of service in our program also. And so they are a support system to each other. Now they're in each other's weddings. They're inviting each other to birthday parties. I'm like, I love you guys, but I can't come to every one of your kids' birthday parties.
So, and I already know the answer to this, but Mom's House is a no judgment zone.
Absolutely. You
can, so I've heard.
You come, and we love you.
Come as you are.
We love you.
Yeah,
just. And one of the things for me is when you hear a young lady say, like, you're not going to be able to handle what I'm bringing to the table.
Because it's going to be honest, right?
And I'm like, bring it on. Like, I lay it all out. And we've heard that so many times. But we're going to love you, and we're going to believe in you, and we're going to show you a whole different part of life. And when our girls come in, they come in one way and they just leave like a whole head up, shoulders back, ready to face the world. Amazing moms, you know. And it's just it's a area of pride for me.
Yeah,
I just got a text from one this morning, a graduate of our program.
Awesome.
Yep. Now she's telling me to have a good day.
Oh my
like
goodness.
She's like, "You're amazing. Have a great day. I love you."
I'm like, and that's the best payment
of
all.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. So when do you have time to be the chair of anything other than what you're doing right now? And what else do you do?
Great question. Yeah. So I have to be very intentional with my time. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I've learned and my business mentors have kind of helped me with, because I used to say yes to everything. And then I realized I cannot do that anymore. So I'm very specific and focused on where my life is going and my personal my desires and my passions. And so I make time for what's important to me. So I'm the co-chair for the Lucas County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board. That is a heart thing for me. That is I grew up in addiction with my family, and we've experienced it. You know, it's come through our bloodline. Mental illness is a huge thing in my family. Mm-hmm. My father was a heroin addict, you know, towards the end of his life. And so to me, if I can help somebody at a higher level, I am so honored that I was even asked to be a part of it. And now as I am the co-chair and looking at being the chair of the Lucas County Board in the next several years. So Very, very proud of that. It's super important to me. So right now I'm on that board. Uh-huh. I'm on the board of my church, something I just started.
Okay.
But that's important to me.
Yeah.
I've served in my church mm-hmm. for my entire, I mean, I've been here since 1995, and that's mm-hmm. that's when I really started getting involved. And I always say I got saved for real because I grew up in it. But like I made the decision that this is what the direction my life was going to go. And then I also do, I'm on a Martin Luther King Holiday Commission for the governor, Governor DeWine. Mm-hmm. And I'm the chair of that. I'm the first Latina in the history of the state of Ohio to be the chair. And we plan different events throughout the state of Ohio, mm-hmm. just really highlighting the importance of what he stood for. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something I love, coming to the end of my term mm-hmm. With that. And I also am part of La Prensa, which is a local newspaper for Latinos.
Yeah.
I'm on the board for that. And just really kind of my culture is really important to me. And the people where I came from is important to me.
So Mexican on both sides?
I'm Mexican and Puerto Rican. And actually, I did ancestry. See. So I've always said I'm Mexican because it's just easier because unfortunately
That's
we live in a world
mix.
That people don't really understand. I'm like, did you take a geography class? Because Puerto Rico is like an island over here and Mexico is over here. But people just see us like they think we're all the same.
Yeah.
So but I did my ancestry. I'm actually more Spaniard than any of those.
Oh, really? From
yes,
Spain?
Yes. My grandpa on my mom's side. I found out.
So you're going to have to start using ustedes.
Yes. Well, and see, and they're so proper with their Spanish.
Yes, they are.
I speak Tex-Mex. Spanglish is what we call it. So you're going to hear English come out of my Spanish often. But I can understand Spanish more than I can communicate passionately. Like doing a podcast in Spanish, that would be hard because my passion wouldn't come through because I'd be so focused on making sure I was saying the right words. And you have to practice too. I practice with my mom. I'm some Spaniards, some African, mm-hmm. Puerto Rican, Mexican, and then 1% from Wales.
Wow.
I know this is funny. I love doing accents. So when I found that out, my family always
makes
fun of me.
You're London.
And I'll be like, see, now you guys know why my accent was so beautiful my whole life. They're just like, oh, be quiet.
Oh, that's funny.
Your family does not. They don't care how popular you are. They don't care how much you do in the community. They just tell you exactly how it is.
Yes.
They bring you right down back
to
earth.
Believe me. My mother made us read the thesaurus and the dictionary and the Bible. And I wasn't even a teenager.
Oh, Lord.
Who reads a thesaurus?
Right.
For what? And that's a lot. So you're really involved and in touch with the community at large as best you can be. And with Mom's House, I guess you have to have the heartbeat of the community.
Absolutely. I mean, we see all parts of our community, in what we do. I'm on the Violence Reduction Council now, which I love that.
Wow.
By the way,
how
I went to my
going?
First meeting. I love it because it's the back end of it. Mm-hmm. And right now in my life, I'm into the prevention end, the 0 to 5 space. Mm-hmm. How can we prevent what's going to happen in 18 years? I want my legacy to continue to live, that the kids we're helping now, I'm going to be retired by the time they're leading,
yes.
But I want to be able to see that, And so I want to lay that groundwork because it just doesn't happen overnight. And, and I'm seeing results of that, but
you plant the seeds and
absolutely.
And
we're
maybe
seed
you see
planters.
The growth.
Yes.
Maybe you don't, but you
yes.
keep planting. Keep planting.
Yes.
So that leads to, cause you said the word.
Yes,
and
sir.
This is your final question. What do you think your legacy is and what would you like for it to be?
Yeah. So I would say that I would want my legacy to be a change maker, a cycle breaker, mm-hmm. and not just for myself, but leading people into those spaces. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I talk about all the time is that you're here on purpose for a purpose. It's not a mistake.
Yes.
And if we can get people, if my legacy is helping people find their purpose,
yes.
Whew, I've done my job. I can go hang out with Jesus.
Wow. So that's what you would like for it to be. What do you think it is so far?
I think so far that I have been, right now, I think I have a loud mouth in our community.
Oh, my goodness.
Which this is a quick story is, growing up, I was told I was too much. I was too loud. Mm. I was disrespectful because I was always right fighting. I was always about justice. Mm-hmm. And I would ask questions, and my mom couldn't control that part of me. Uh-huh. And she was like, she's just trying to survive, but she didn't understand what this thing that she had in me was. My whole family even would be like, you're too much. She's loud. She's terrible. She's disrespectful.
Oh, no.
And my voice was being shut down. Mm-hmm. But what they didn't know is that there was a purpose for my voice. Mm-hmm. And so right now I would say that I'm using my voice to help other people find their voice. And the mm-hmm. people who were told they're this, they're that, you're yeah. not. I want to fight for the people. Mm-hmm. Like I'm no offense to the people that are ready, you know, where they need to be.
Yeah.
I want to fight for the people who don't have a voice.
Gotcha.
And the that's underdog. What I'm doing every day.
Awesome.
Every day.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on The Voices of Legacy. It sounds like there's a book and a movie in the works for
yeah,
you somewhere.
Yeah, I started one, actually, a book. I started writing chapters, but hey, I'll get there one day.
It's an awesome story, and, yeah. and we're really thankful for the purpose that you found yeah. in your life's work and helping these young people, young ladies and young men.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on The Voices yeah. of Legacy today.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Thank you for listening to The Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in The Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.